If I have to be the only one to stand up for Joe Biden here, to protect him from the cruelest form of elder abuse I've ever been forced to watch, well then, that's what I'll do. He was in epic distress that Thursday night. Every cognitive default in his mind seemed to be shutting down. If this had been someone you truly cared about, loved, embraced, what would you have done? Would you have seriously even let him go out on that stage? Who would send an 81-year-old out onto any stage to debate a living monster at 9 at night for a brawl that would not end until 10:42 p.m.? I don't think we should be waiting until September or October to deal with this. We have to deal with this right now. This is not about whether he's fit to serve another 4 years. After what we saw on debate night, this is about whether he should serve another 4 days in the toughest job in the world. That's the question we should be asking. Leave Mr. Biden alone. Let him rest. Let him go home. He has done his job. Let him have his dignity. Please do him this favor. I'm not a fan of author and filmmaker Michael Moore, who wrote this commentary, but as I prepared for this topic, it caught my eye. We saw the need for caring for our elderly parents played out on the national stage just a month ago. It is a privilege to be here once again, and a privilege to meet you in the name of Jesus, the one who understood the topic, one of the last acts from the cross while he was in the world was that he looked at his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he looked at John and said, "Behold your mother." Even as he was leaving the world, making sure that his elderly parent was cared for. It's an important topic. And it's an important topic for every one of us here. The youth sitting here probably looked over the program and thought, well, if there's anyone that doesn't really relate to me, it's probably that one. My parents are still young, and that's years down the road. But I would suggest this morning that maybe you are the target audience, not in preparing for your elderly parents, but every one of us is preparing for the time when we get there and we need the care. The choices and decisions that we're making in life now set the course for when we're old. You're never too young to prepare to get old. And when you get to my age and older, I've never heard an old person say, "My life was just so long. I mean, it just took so long to get here." Absolutely not. We all look back and realize the truth of the scripture. A vapor, poof, here today and gone. We're all on that journey from life to that final step. I've chosen to divide the message into three sections, thinking about caring for parents. First of all, and maybe this is the most important part of it, from your perspective, wherever you are in life, preparing for the time when you get to old age. As a parent approaching the need for care, there are things that I should be thinking about before the time gets here. Often by the time you need care, you're not able to think reasonably and have the ability to make the choices that you need to make. So it's important to think about it while you're able to think and reason reasonably well. You want to make your plans for care before you need it. So for each one of us, preparing for that time. Secondly, from the perspective of the caregiver, and then thirdly, brotherhood responsibility. And I appreciated the practical message on being contributors. if you are a loving, loyal contributor, then the blessings during those times of need and the down times, they are a tremendous blessing to us. And in caring for our elderly, we don't push them out the door. We rally around them as a family and as a congregation. Before I get into those three, I would like just some introductory thoughts, maybe things that have shaped my thoughts on caring for the elderly. And one is my age. I'll answer part of the question that Brother Duane introduced. I'm 67, but I'm not the oldest one up here. But I am, excuse me, I am old enough to claim senior discounts and Social Security and Medicare. So maybe the committee was wanting somebody that could say, how do you want to be cared for? My own journey in caring for elderly parents, and I say this slowly and carefully because I cared for my parents and my parents-in-law from 400 miles away. So I bless my siblings and siblings-in-law for doing most of the care. But within the last 7 years, my first father-in-law passed away. My mother's funeral was 3 years ago, and then my father just a half a year after that. And my first mother-in-law passed just over half a year ago. I spent the most time with my father, had the privilege of being with him for a week just in the time before he passed. And Jeannie and I are approaching the time with her parents when the caring for the elderly is once again a very practical topic. So those things, those experiences did contribute. The thing that I would maybe cite more than anything else is the walking with my first wife through the vow. My wife, Elsie, passed away in 2010. And while there are significant differences in caring for elderly parents, there are a lot of similarities as well. And the first thing that I would say in thinking about it is, view it as a privilege to be able to walk with loved ones through those last times. Yes, it will be a burden. It can be exhausting. The emotional strain may bring you to the breaking point mentally. But even after going through all that emotional roller coaster, the ups and downs, I came away with an experience, and a spiritual experience that I would struggle to put into words today. I would say that truly as you walk with them to their final destination, that you are you walk on holy ground. And I know that I didn't know that I would get emotional. I know that God is omnipresent, but maybe it's more that the presence of God is very real and felt in the extreme tests of life. One thing I think about is if you put the old age and death within the context of the larger context of God's will for man, it's all part of God's will that we are born and live and die. We were created in God's image, That's how the original will of God, sin brought that image to ruin, and all of God's workings with man since then in redemption have been restoring his image in my heart. And then the new birth experience restores God's image perfectly. It begins a lifetime of being conformed to his image as we with open face behold in the glass the glory of the Lord, changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. And then the day of your death is the final restoration, because you don't see him clearly until then, but then we shall see him as he is, and we can be like him in eternity. And so that is my encouragement, if we can keep it in that larger context of the completion of God's will. It will test you. It will test your relationship with your parent. It will test your relationship with your siblings. And it may even test your relationship with God. It tests you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But if you can keep in the back of your mind that it is a part of the spiritual journey. Your parents were with you at birth when you were created in God's image. They may have been with you at your new birth when you were restored to God's image. And now you have the privilege of being with them in their final walk toward complete restoration. What a blessing and what a privilege that is. Be there for them. It's a privilege you don't want to miss. One thought that came to me as I was thinking about caring for elderly parents in those final years, months, days, somewhat similar to waiting for the birth of a child. You know, the 9 months, what, by the time you get to the end, you're willing to go through anything to have it over. And then the pure joy and thrill of the new life, the perfect life, how sweet to hold the newborn baby. And you forget the 9 months prepares you for the birth of the child. In the same way, crudely, walking with together during those final whatever length of time God gives prepares both of you for that last step into eternity. And maybe that was one of the most surprising things as we walked through the valley of the shadow of death, was how precious those final moments were. My wife passed away on a Saturday evening, and I wrote these thoughts the next morning as I reflected. Elsie's parting last evening was so peaceful and quiet that the best description I have is precious and beautiful. I thought the verse in Psalm 116 about death being precious was only to be from the Lord's point of view. Our last hours with Elsie were so precious that gave me a whole new picture of death and the dying process. My thoughts are a mix of joy and intense sorrow, but most of all, I bask just now in the goodness, greatness, and grace of God, who gives the breath of life and finally takes it in his own time and way. The journey through the valley of the shadow of death that was so painful in going through ended in a day that will be as precious as the other milestones of our life. Keep that overall eternal focus in view as you think about not only preparing for the time when you get there, but in walking through those times with your loved ones. Another input more recently for me was after I agreed to take the assignment, we scheduled double knee replacement for Jeannie in February. And so we had a 6-week practice run at our house in caring for somebody that was incapacitated. Handrails were installed. We had a walk-in shower, so we were good there. But I drove her to all of her appointments, her appointments and physical therapy. We had walkers and canes. I did all the cooking and the laundry. One of the things that I learned during this time was how quickly people were willing to help and to step in and help you out during those times. We did the surgery in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and so had an 8-hour drive home. And surgeries, joint replacements, it's almost like drive-through replacements. They push you out the door just about as fast as they can. We stayed an extra day because of complications. But we had made plans to stay for the weekend in a hotel instead of trying to drive home right away from the hospital. But the hospital staff said, no, you want to get in the car and you want to go home. That's where you will recover the best and do the best. And so they taught Jeannie how to get into the car, and they shut the door, and we were on the way to Wisconsin. And they had told us that we should stop every hour or two, get out and walk around the vehicle because blood clots were a consideration. And the first two stops went fine, and I had thought about the bathroom stop, and, well, we'll just go somewhere where there are family facilities, and it'll be fine. And we found a nice service station. She stayed out in the car. I went in to check the facilities, and there was no family room available, so I went to the counter and was a bit self-conscious. You know, do you have family restrooms? And the lady behind the counter, no, but both the men's room and the women's room have changing tables available. And I said, well, that isn't going to work for us. We need this is an older adult that needs a little bit of help. And she said, oh, I'll take care of that. We'll clear the bathroom out. I'll stand at the door, and you can go ahead and use it. And so it worked out perfectly. We made our way to the restroom, and everything worked out fine. But that is one thing that you learn in going through these situations, is that people are willing to be there for you and help, and particularly in being part of a brotherhood. The final input that I had in putting the topic together was communication with friends, those who are in the journey or were, and bits that they learned in their care of elderly parents. So your responsibility, wherever you are, your responsibility is a parent. Think of the instruction in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember now and prepare for that time. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. When they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. And the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It is the time to prepare for old age. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One of the best preparations for myself for preparing for the time when I approach the need for care is by accepting and living out the biblical family values, the traditional roles of husband and wife, the value of children, the quivers that are full. Children are an heritage of the Lord. These are the things that are laying the groundwork for your own care in old age. Nursing homes are the result of a cultural shift away from biblical values. When you think about it, when everyone embraced the concept of the family and children, it was just naturally assumed that there would be the care passed on. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Angry parenting provokes children to anger. There is a sense here where parents have responsibility to take care of those character flaws and anger problems before you get to old age. Because sometimes some of those weaknesses that I have are accentuated after the mind is no longer able to think clearly. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says, "Here for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." And part of laying up for your children is taking care of things before you die. A legitimate question we should ask ourselves is this: what can I do now to make it easier for those who will need to be my caregivers in the future? Prepare for the time when you won't be able to make decisions on your own. Take care of unfinished relationships. Issues? Are there family members that you need to be reconciled with? Are there brothers in the church that you need to be reconciled with? Have your estate in order. If you are parents this morning with young children, middle age, you should be taking the first steps in estate planning. And then as life situation changes, do updates as needed. If you have minor children, it's good to have that care spelled out as well. If you have a property or a farm or a home or a business that you know will exceed your ability to do maintenance and upkeep, sell it while you are still fully able to take care of it yourself. Don't wait until you can't take care of it. By the time you can't, then you probably won't have the wherewithal to make the transition happen. Excuse me. One of the best decisions that Jeannie and I made a couple of years ago was to sell our farm and downsize to a smaller property. Designate someone with power of attorney, someone who can carry out your financial wishes when you can't. Healthcare power of attorney. If you don't have that before you need it and you go to the hospital, your wife or your husband, your spouse may be there, But if you don't have health care power of attorney, the medical people will make your decisions regardless of what you say to them. There may be exceptions to that. Health care power of attorney, you don't make their decisions for them. You tell the providers what the person would want if they were making the decisions. Funeral trusts allow you to put money aside to cover the funeral expenses before you get there. Some people use those. Or funeral plans are the things that you want said, a text you want used, songs you would like to sing, someone you want to preach. All these things, if that is something that you want to do, write it down and may ease the burden for those who otherwise would need to do it. One brother said that his father put a list of all the people. These are the people that I would like contacted at the time of my passing. A very helpful move for the family. Are there items that you promise to a child? If that's the case, it should be written down. You don't want to get into a family fight because Dad told Jimmy that he would get his tools when he passed and nobody else knew about that. Get rid of stuff. It would be a good idea for everyone that is approaching old age to move so that they can evaluate the things and be forced to take stock of all the things you have accumulated. And realize that when you go, you're going to leave that all behind, and then somebody has to deal with it. Get rid of things. Stay active. Prepare for old age by staying active as long as possible, physically, mentally. Pick up a hobby that you can do in your old age. My father went to his office in the feed mill up into his 80s. But then when he realized that he could no longer do that, he bought a wood lathe and a scroll saw. And he, in those last years, made wall plaques and sculptures and things today that we treasure as keepsake. And it kept him active. We have a replica of the Eiffel Tower on our mantle. A treasure that reminds us of him. You can crochet while you sit in your chair. My mother taught me how to crochet at a very young age, and one of the things I wonder if maybe I'll do is pick up the craft of crocheting when I maybe can't get out of the chair anymore. My mother-in-law made greeting cards. And that gave her something to do and blessed those who were the recipients. Her mother made handkerchiefs. Keep your mind active. I do word games in an attempt to stave off Alzheimer's. I'm not sure that it's working real well, but I keep doing it. Keep your body active, walking, exercise bikes, treadmills. I've been a gardener all my life, and I want to die in the garden if I can. Learn a new language. Well, maybe that's a bit overly ambitious, but Spanish, French. Well, at the least, stick to Canadian English. Sorry, Ron. Don't be afraid to accept help when you need help. Determine now that if somebody offers to help, that you're willing to take it. Your children want to do what is best for you in the easiest way possible. And sometimes we just need to swallow our dignity and pride and admit that, yes, I need this. One of the hardest things to give up is independence. Decision-making and basic human dignity. But determine to be flexible and practice now. Humility and brokenness as a way of life goes a long way in preparing for your caregivers. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Secondly, to the caregivers, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's hard to get around the instruction to children to be the caregivers for their parents. When do you get involved? Well, when they ask for help, but more often it will be the other way around because nobody wants to be a burden. We don't want to admit that we need help. Some early signs to look for when you notice failure in any of these areas: basic housekeeping and maintenance isn't happening. Finances aren't being managed properly. Bills aren't being paid, or they're paid twice. Taxes aren't getting filed. Elderly are extremely vulnerable to scammers, and the scammers prey on older adults. The refrigerator's a disaster. The dishes are piled up on the counter. And I know that happens to all of us, but we're talking about patterns. Medications aren't being kept up, managed properly. Changes in hygiene and personal care. Appointments are missed. Changes in eating and meal preparation. Changes in personality. All signals that care is needed. And there's usually a progression, typically goes from help with maintenance and cleaning and laundry, and then later stages, help with personal hygiene, and end stages, help with getting dressed and toilet, walking and feeding. Get involved by talking about it, communicating. Don't be scared of the conversation. You do need to talk about these things before you get there. And then when you do communicate and you're in the process, make sure that everyone is updated. WhatsApp groups and GroupMe's. No reason that everyone isn't informed and involved. Family meetings. It's probably good to designate one person to lead out and be the contact person, even if there are rotations of help. What to get involved with? It's the physical needs are fairly basic and understandable, and we all get those. If somebody needs help with food and clothes and cleaning. But then there are other needs that are a little more difficult to do. Social needs and later in life is a reflective stage in life. They think back on their life and wondered if their life is worth living. I would say to caregivers, and as we approach the caring for elderly parents, don't be scared to ask for help. Scripturally, it's hard to get around a child's responsibility to care for parents. But if care exceeds what you can provide, know that sometimes the best care you can give is to find a caregiver for them. And you don't need to feel guilty for getting outside help. In the same way that 150 years ago, when there was a medical emergency, you didn't go to the emergency room. You did what you could at home. And now we don't hesitate to take medical emergencies to the hospital, those who are trained and expert in that care. And the same is true for elder care. When it exceeds our abilities to help, there are times when outside help is needed. Hospice is a wonderful resource. They're more than happy to help you with care as the end of life approaches. And sometimes there's a hesitation to go that way because it is a realization that it is no longer, I'm not going to come out of this, but it is rather comfort and palliative care. They don't hasten death, they just try to make the passing as easy as possible. Hospice typically would last for a couple of weeks or months. Jimmy Carter, former president, is the exception. 17 months ago, he discontinued his therapy for metastatic melanoma, went on hospice, and it's been 17 months, I believe, and now he's approaching his 100th birthday. But they will help with pain management, equipment, oxygen, hospital beds, portable toilets. They help with nutrition. And they help with reassurance along the way. They understand the aging process and the dying process, what to expect at various phases of the journey. Excuse me. So the physical needs, it's a matter of doing the things at hand. If they can't walk, you help them walk. If they can't do personal care, you do it for them. If they can't feed themselves, you feed them. But the next ones may take the priority. Those physical needs are usually obvious, but the others might be greater. Things like love and respect and honor. It's not always easy to show respect because with old age and dementia and other age-related limitations, they may be at a time of life when their actions aren't always worthy of respect. They may become controlling, combative, sullen, morose, silent, irritable. But remember, they do deserve honor and respect as your parents, even when they are no longer being honorable or are able to be honorable. One thing that those who responded to my survey on tips that they learned in caring for parents was, and we went through this with my wife, that you get the feeling that the person you are caring for is not the person that you knew and loved during their most of your life. Respect and honor their choices and their dignity. Allow them to make choices as long as they have the ability to make them. Don't try to reform them. I did contact Ryan Hoover, administrator at Mountain View, and he had some insights. Let them make any decision that doesn't kill them, and maybe some that do. If Grandpa likes to ride around in the tractor and he dies doing it, that's fine. Who cares if they eat cream cheesecake for breakfast instead of carrot juice? The cream cheesecake probably won't kill them, and the carrot juice isn't going to cure them. Allow them to make choices, any choices within their capacity. George H.W. Bush, the 41st president, went skydiving on his 90th birthday. And I'm not saying that I'm recommending that, but the idea of staying active and allowing parents to make the choices as long as they can. Don't try to put them on a diet or change their eating habits. Try to do things the way they want it done, even if you're caring for them and if you're caring for them in their house, even if it's 80 degrees and you're miserably hot and they want to turn off the AC. Don't get upset if they tell you how to drive. Then when you're alone, you can drive as close to the ditch as you want. There, of course, are limits to these things. If they become a risk to themselves or someone else, then we do need to take the situation in hand. Honor them as a person, as your parent, as a precious life from God. One of the needs that maybe comes out more than anything in later years is simply that of encouragement. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 in the ESV, "Do not rebuke an elder man, but encourage him as you would a father." They may need to be encouraged that their life was fulfilling. Remind them of how much you appreciate the things they taught you. Let them tell their stories, even if they tell the same ones again and again. Let them be wrong without trying to correct them. Don't argue or try to convince them that they are wrong. Give them a listening ear. Old age can be a lonely stage in life, and sometimes all they need is someone to be there and to sit with them and to listen. Had an elderly neighbor, she was in her 90s and her husband was in her 90s a couple of years ago, called me one evening. I was relaxed in my chair and she called, said that her husband was, he was approaching the end stages and was feeling anxious and wondered if I could come. She indicated that their priest wasn't available and I guess she thought maybe I would do. And so I went. And basically, what I did was I sat there and listened as he told his story. And as he talked and told his story, he was able to relax. And yes, I did. I tried to offer words of encouragement, prayed with them. But it was a time of listening and just being there for them. It's okay to be concerned about the eternal destiny. We all think about that as we approach the end of life and somebody else approaches the end of life. It's okay to ask if they're ready to pass, but don't take more responsibility on than is warranted. If they say they are ready to die and at peace, we can leave that between them and God. There may be feelings that their life has no more purpose, that it's done. Sometimes the value of our life is not what we're doing, but what it's teaching other people to be doing. These are the people that Jesus said, "As much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, ye have done it unto me." Be there for them, just like quality time is an excuse that parents may use with their children, and it doesn't work for children. It doesn't work in old age either. Be there for them. Read to them. Read stories. Read the Word. If they're no longer communicative, keep talking to them. Pray with them. Sing with them. Bring little children to them. Their light, their eyes always light up when they see young life. Stay in touch. Phone calls, cards, letters, visits. Understand their fears. It's normal to approach the end of life with a bit of fear that maybe even God will forsake me. The psalmist said, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Help them walk through some of those feelings. Fears of failure, fears of irrelevance, fears of being a burden, fear of pain, fear of death. And yes, we can be very firm in our faith and know that we're ready to go, but you approach, there is that uncertainty, the unknown, that all of those that have gone, none have come back and said what it's like. And so it will be a new experience. Brotherhood, responsibility. We rally around them. Bear ye one another's burdens, and it is one way that we fulfill the law of Christ. Relieve those who are caring for them. Inquire how it's going. Give material help when needed. In conclusion, I put together this scripture collage. Lord, I'm almost home. Let me go. Let me go softly, because a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Let me go peacefully, Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Let me go quietly. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Let me go humbly, because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Let me go patiently, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the reward. Let me go gently, because thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Let me go confidently. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Let me go prayerfully, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me go lightly, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let me go calmly, be still, and know that I am God. Let me go easily, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me go agreeably, because the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Let me go trustingly, but my God shall supply all your need by his riches in glory. Let me go freely. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let me go fearlessly, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, I'm almost home. Let me come. God bless you.